V'haya eikev tishmeun eis hamishpatim ha'ele ushmartem va'asisem osam v'shamar Adonai Elohecha lecha es habris v'es hachesed asher nishba la'avosecha. This shall be the reward when you hearken to these ordinances, and you observe and perform them. Hashem your God will safeguard for you the covenant and the kindness that he swore to your forefathers. OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Ekev. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th day of Menachem Av, corresponding to August 14th. That's about it. Just to tell you that Torah Tidbits hard copy, we published a double issue this week. Actually, it contains Ekev, and a separate pullout called Re'eh Light, 32 pages instead of 64 pages, but proportionally more content than the usual issue. And that's because we're taking a little bit of a vacation next week. Hopefully, I'll be able to record the show next Thursday, as usual, for Parshat Re'eh and Rosh Chodesh Benching of Elul. But this show is straight Akev. As long as I'm talking about things, to clarify a few points. Number one, this show is about 16 and a half years, maybe going on seven, closer to 17 years, which started on the radio in Israel on Arutz Sheva. Then somewhere along the line, along the way, they started an internet broadcasting together with their radio shows, and the show was on internet as well. And that's where it started being archived and people could listen to it, etc. Then Arutz Sheva got taken off the air in Israel because of political differences with the government, let's say, and it became exclusively internet radio. Somewhere along the line, and I don't remember the exact sequence and time, the OU said, hey, you're OU, Israel Center is OU, Torah Tidbits is OU, so Torah Tidbits Audio belongs on OU Radio, which was internet radio, it still is, www.ouradio.org. And they said, we would like the show also. So for many years now, I've been sending the links to the files to both Arutz Sheva and OU Radio. A number of years ago, when I started a Torah Tidbits website, I started putting the radio show up on that website. And those are the links that I actually send to Arutz Sheva and to the OU in New York. Each one does something slightly different to their version, so it doesn't, wherever you choose to listen to it, that's where you'll find it. Now, on a practical side, however long it takes Arutz Sheva to put it up into their live stream and then on archive is their issue. However long the OU takes to put it up is their issue. but you should know that the first place it goes is ttidbits.com, which is the website that the OU in New York gave me to control, and it's exclusively Torah Tidbits. www, which you don't need, t.ttidbits, double T, idbits.com, and that has the pieces of the front page, just so that you could identify it, and it has links to the full issue of Torah Tidbits, to a light version, which we recommend for reading online rather than downloading and printing. It's a much lighter file. It has exactly the same content as the full issue and as the hard copy, but its memory is takes up less memory, and it's very satisfactory to read on the screen, which some people tell me they do. Then there's an extra light version where all of the ads, schedules, teulim are removed, and you are left with a slightly rough around the edges version of Torah Tidbits that's anywhere from half size to a little bit more of the content of Torah Tidbits for those who choose to bypass the ads and the schedule and the teulim. Then there's a text only version, also linked on that the homepage of ttidbits.com, where you get just plain dump of all the text. It includes teulim, it includes schedule, it does not include ads, and it's also in very raw form as text, and you could do whatever you want with it. It's the lightest file, obviously. Then there's the Parsha Picks, which is available separately for downloading. The answers to Parsha Picks elements are found in the whole, the light, the extra light, as well as the text versions of Torah Tidbits on that website. You also have links to the two halves of Torah Tidbits audio. And one of the things you should be aware of is that the first half gets up before the second half is done, so that it is possible to go onto that website, ttidbits.com. You can't find that on OU Radio or on Arut Sheva, but you can find that at ttidbits.com, that there will be a first half and the second half is not yet active. Now, if you read carefully, it says there the second half when uploaded, or the whole thing when uploaded. Yeah, actually, it doesn't distinguish between first and second half. Uvda, fact. I do the first half. I convert it from WAV to MP3. And I load it up into my Dropbox account. And that link is already active from ttidbits.com. And then I send that link out to the other parties. So the first place you can find it, Torah Tidbits Audio, is ttidbits.com. So long as I'm talking about ttidbits.com, I have a couple of other things on that page. The early Shabbos guide stays up until after Rosh Hashanah time. The year's calendar of candlelighting and Kiddush Levana and things like that stays up all year round. The daily learning, Daf Yomi and Mishnayomi, etc., stays up all year round with links. Then there are a few other links to sites that I find useful. One is The Living Torah by Rav Aryeh Kaplan, totally online, and it's a nice thing to be able to look up some of the things. And there's also a full Tanakh, Hebrew and English, including Rashi, Hebrew and English. There is a Babylon Dictionary. There is a very lovely website called Tanakh Profiles, where you could put in any name of any character mentioned in Tanakh, any person mentioned in Tanakh, and you get blurbs sometimes more than you ask for. Sometimes you'll put in a name and you'll find out that there are six different people throughout Tanakh that had that same name. But I also find that particular website interesting. There is a link to Major League Baseball, and there's a link to Snoopy Comics, and there's a link to a World Time program, which I enjoy. And the reason Major League Baseball is there, aside from my being a baseball fan, is I wanted to be able to say there are many Torah websites that you could get onto. I'm not saying mine is better than others, but I will say that I have probably the only Torah-oriented website that has a link to Major League Baseball and to Snoopy Comics. So that's me, and that's my shtick. And now you have not quite the whole story, but almost. I'll add one more thing. There was a period of time way back that I actually went up to Beit El and recorded, broadcast live at the studios in Beit El, but that stopped a while back. Now, I used to use Cool Edit, which is a very nice program for sound. I use now a program called Power Sound Editor Free. The version I have is 7.8.1, and I find it suits my needs. I'm watching now on the screen. I've been talking for 10 minutes after the opening stuff, so I keep an eye on how long the show goes. I do two halves of 23 minutes each, and each one, after it's converted to an MP3, encoded to an MP3, takes up about 21 megabytes of memory. I think that'll be about it for now. If anyone has any questions, you can always email me at tt@ou.org. I have a whole bunch of other emails, but they all funnel into the same major account, and the easiest one to remember is TT for Torah Tidbits, at OU for Orthodox Union, .org for organization. And I think that's about it. So, without further ado, even though there's been much ado till now, we will say Tehillim Kuf Lamed Psalm 130. Remember that there's still a war going on here in Israel, even though the next latest ceasefire seems to be holding. There was a period of about 10 minutes last night before midnight that Hamas seems to have had some fun sending rockets into Israel and sending Israelis into shelters. No injuries, as far as I know, were recorded, but it still keeps everyone at a tension level, which is not healthy, and therefore should not have used any flippant tone or terminology. It's a serious thing, and that should be included in Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yah Adonai mi'amod ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvoro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael, mi kol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha-omedim ebein bayam, uvein bayabasha, ha-makom yirachem aleihem, ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. Without keeping it a secret, I'm sure most of you recognized the opening music of the show. It's from the movie Exodus, and the words, "This land is mine, God gave this land to me," is very, very meaningful in general and appropriate to several different sedras, and maybe Akev gets high up on that list. Moshe Rabbeinu is still talking to the Jewish people in his last 37 days of life, and he is telling them many different things. And there is a chapter beginning at the beginning of Perek Chet, chapter 8, that is, I don't know, first of all, the beginning is very meaningful to me, and I've spoken about this in the past, but I'll review it quickly for you again, and it's meant to be a message of encouragement for those people who live in Israel, and a message of encouragement for those who don't yet live in Israel. In fact, I could dedicate the show to a good friend who left after another visit a couple of days ago. Spoke to him back in New Jersey, the difference being that the next time he comes in Yirtzeh Hashem, he's coming on a one-way ticket, coming on Aliyah in November. So I would like to dedicate these remarks to Rabbi Neil Winkler, Rabbi Neil and Andrea Winkler, who have finally cut the tie to Fort Lee, New Jersey, where he's been the Rav of the Shul and community for the last 36 years, and they are planning and really seriously final stages of preparation for coming on Aliyah after the Chagim, mid-November. The story, as I said, I've told it before, I'll tell it again. I told it this past Shabbat. We had a Shabbaton at the Israel Center for Shabbat Nachamu. And we finished Mincha. We had a question and answer session. And then we came in to Seudah Shlishit, Shalosh Shuras. And I said, that's the perfect time to tell the story, because that's when it happened. But not this year. 45 years ago. 45 years ago. Summer 1969. I was 21 at the time, finished Yeshiva University that June, and during the summer, I spent 7 weeks, I think it was seven, here in Israel. It was my second trip. I had come with my family back in the summer of 62, and this is the first time post Six-Day War, and I'd be getting to go to the Kotel for the first time, and a lot of other experiences that I did not have the previous trip. The framework in which I came, I was Madrich, one of the counselors of a group called Machon Kayetz Dati, run through the Jewish Agency, as many, many groups are. And it was officially a group sponsored by Mizrahi Hatzair, an organization which does not exist anymore, and I was one of the Madrichim of that summer, and we had some NCSY kids on that tour as well, and that's how I was introduced to NCSY, and I mention that now because 45 years later, I am still involved with OU NCSY as a member of the executive staff, we'll say, here at the Israel Center, which used to be actually identified as OU-NCSY Israel Center. Then it became OU Israel Center, and now it's pretty much OU Israel, of which Torah Tidbits is a part, of which the Israel Center Shiurim Informal Education Program for Adults is a part. Got all of that? Okay, so here's the scene. We go into Shalosh Shuras from Davening Mincha on Shabbat Nachamu, the Shabbat after Tisha B'Av, last Shabbat. And a kid, one of the kids on the tour, who I had assigned to give the Dvar Torah at Seudah Shlishit, comes to me and says he forgot, he's not prepared, he's not speaking, and it fell to me to cover it by giving a Dvar Torah. The very last thing we had done on the way out of Mincha, besides Davening Mincha, was to read the first portion of Akev as part of Mincha on Shabbat before. Now, just side point, the first portion of Akev is really the longest first portion that we read in the whole cycle of the year. It's 25 psukim. Minimum requirement is 9, practical minimum is 10, and the numbers vary, but this is 25 solid psukim that we read on Akev, which means Shabbos Nachamu, Vod Chanan in the afternoon, Monday morning and Thursday morning of the week of Akev. So I look into the Siddur at the portion we had just read as I'm walking into Sudah Shlishit, searching for something to speak about, and a pasuk jumps off the page and hits me between the eyes. The pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the people and telling them, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom tishmerun la'asot. The entire commandment, which means all mitzvot, that I command you today, you shall observe to perform. Why? Lema'an tichyun urvitem, so that you may live and increase. Uvatem virishtem et ha'aretz, and come and possess the land that Hashem swore to your forefathers. Asher nishba Hashem la'avotechem. That pasuk is not the only one that says the same thing. There are many others back in Vo'et Chanan, in Re'eh, in Devarim, and there is a theme. The theme is simply this. The purpose of our nationhood, the reason God took us out of Egypt, the reason that he formed us into a nation, was to give us the Torah as our way of life and to live that life in Eretz Yisrael. I just took about 2 minutes that I had continued speaking at this point and put it into the beginning of the second half because I went way overboard. So we'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio, and you'll know what the first 2 minutes mean there. You are listening to Torah Tibbetz audio for Parshat Akev. The theme that you just heard now should be familiar from the play Oliver, Food, Glorious Food. Put it together with the opening theme of the first half, This Land is Mine, and you get the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon in its more complete form. We'll talk about that in a little while. First, I want to play for you about 2 minutes. Not play, but place before you, whatever. 2 minutes that I went over on the first half to finish that thought, and then we'll continue afterwards. We messed up. We were exiled. We were told to return. Not everybody came back. We continued in exile. We were exiled again. And that exile was not a 70-year exile. It's been 1950-whatever years and counting. And individuals, groups, plane loads have been returning to the land as all the Jewish people are supposed to. Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcho hayom. All the body of mitzvot that I am teaching you this day has the purpose of giving you life, increasing, and coming to the land of Israel that God promised. The theme is Eretz Yisrael, La'am Yisrael, Al-Pi Torat Yisrael. It's too bad that a political party took that theme. The party sort of has changed its complexion and its names over the years. It's still dedicated to that, and many, many people would call that statement the definition of Dati Lu'umi, religious national people. At this point, I am way over the 23-minute mark, so I am stopping. And I'm going back, and I'm going to pull some of this to the beginning of the second part. When you hear this, You will already have heard me say that I am putting this in the second part, so you get a little bit of a time warp there, but that's the story. Anyway, the point I was trying to make before, I think I might have gotten a little sidetracked, is that this pasuk and others like it said to me, you're a religious Jew, you try to do mitzvot and keep the Torah, what are you doing living outside of Israel? And that moment, this was 45 years ago, the other momentous thing in my life is I started growing my beard then, and this, on a more serious note, was the moment that I made my decision that my future would be in Israel. Now, it took me 12 years till I got here from that point. And a lot happened during those 12 years. And, of course, I look to the date that I came on Aliyah as a very special date in my life, a big milestone. But bigger than that might have been the moment that I can pinpoint I made my decision to live in Israel. And part of the reason that I'm saying this is that there are people who listen to this show outside of Israel, and those people should already have, if not yet, then, now, make their decision, even though the details are fuzzy and the timetable is fuzzy, but to come to a personal realization of something that is so clear and obvious in the Torah, I don't know why more people don't see it, and say, yes, my future will be in Eretz Yisrael also. It doesn't mean you'll pack your bags and get a ticket and come immediately, but it means turn in that direction. I'm going to give you a train of thought now. Just popped into my mind, and I am debating whether I should say it, because it is a very, very serious analogy. And I don't know how analogous the situations are, although I could make a case for it. So don't be offended by this, but this is what I'm thinking. I once heard someone give a talk, someone I respect very much, and he mentioned that atheism is a form of idolatry, and it's really worse than regular idolatry. First of all, what makes it a type of idolatry is that it is leaving the path that the Jew is supposed to have of believing in God and following God and doing what he asks. So, as such, turning to another idol does that, another religion, another deity, and becoming an atheist, denying the existence of God, is also a violation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The reason he says it's worse is because someone who worships an idol or another deity or another religion at least recognizes that there is a supreme being that's in charge of the world, but that person is got it a little wrong, got it a lot wrong, but at least the most elemental element, I don't know if that sounded right, the core element of all religion is belief in something, in someone, in a divine being. An atheist is 180 degrees turned around from that. And in order for an atheist to be brought back to belief in God, it requires a full 180-degree turnaround. Someone who keeps some kind of religious behavior needs to be straightened out, needs to be adjusted, we'll say, to traditional Judaism, but at least he's pointing in the right direction. Again, it came into my head, so I said it. What I meant to say is that a Jew needs to realize, based on these verses in the Torah and based on mitzvot in the Torah, that the place the Jew was intended to live his life of Torah is the land of Israel. All you need now is to point yourself in that direction, and then the subsequent steps continue from there. That's what I was saying. 45 years ago, that's what happened to me. 33 years ago, almost, in September, I actually came here and haven't had a boring day yet. So this is where we belong. Let me change direction completely now. And I would like to read a set of four verses in the Torah, the follow-up of the one that I just quoted before, because Moshe Rabbeinu is still talking to the people. But I'm skipping down a few psukim, and then let me read them. I'll read them in English also, and then talk about them. And then even the musical themes that we started with, each of the halves, will come to mean something. Devarim chapter 8, psukim 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Vishamarta es mitzvos Adonai Elohecha laleches bidrachav ulira oso. You shall observe the commandments of Hashem your God, to go in his ways and fear him. Why? Ki Adonai Elohecha miviacha el eretz tova, eretz nachalei mayim, ayanos usahomos, yotzeim babika uvahor. For Hashem your God is bringing you to a good land, a land with streams of water, of springs and underground water, coming forth in valley and mountain. Eretz chita usa'ora, v'gefen usa'ena v'rimon, eretz zeis shemen u'devash, a land of wheat, barley, grapes, figs and pomegranate, a land of oil, olives and date honey. Eretz asher lo v'miskenus tochal ba lechem lo sechsar kol ba, eretz asher avaneha varzel umehareha tachzov nechoshet, a land where you will eat bread without poverty, you will lack nothing there, a land whose stones are iron and from whose mountains you will mine copper. V'achalta v'savata uveirachta es Adonai Elohecha al ha'aretz hatova asher nasan lach. You will eat and you will be satisfied and bless Hashem, your God, for the good land that he gave you. First of all, my choice of the theme from Exodus, "This land is mine," was definitely motivated by the psukim that use the word Eretz over and over again, the land, the land, the land, and this land is ours. And the word Eretz itself occurs close to 900 times in the Torah alone, a whole bunch of times in Akev, but these particular psukim that I just read, and the repeating of the word, even if you take the famous verse that lists the seven species, wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates, the word Eretz is repeated there. Eretz chita usa'ora v'gefen u'teina v'rimon, Eretz zeit shemen u'devash. Now, there is a halachic ramification as far as the order of priority for what you make a bracha on when you have more than one thing at the same time. But besides that, the existence of the pasuk that is describing could easily have been that this is a land of wheat and barley, grapes, figs and pomegranates, olives and dates. The additional word Eretz, and in the other psukim also, Eretz Asher Avoneha Barzel U'meharer Tachsov Nechoshet, Eretz, Ayinot U'tahomot, a land. It's the theme of this portion of Akev, and you can't get away from that. Take then the other famous pasuk, the one which we quote every time we bench after a meal, V'achalta v'savata, you shall eat and be satisfied, uveirachta at Hashem Elokecha, and bless God for the land which he has given you. Now wait a minute. You shall bless God for the food which he has given you. And that's why I started the second half of the show with food, glorious food from Oliver. Correct. But our concept of acknowledging God for food is that there is a spiritual dimensional increase in food which is not merely physical sustenance, not merely one of the requirements of all life forms to have food. But we acknowledge that in the first blessing of Birkat HaMazon does not mention being Jewish, does not mention Torah and mitzvot or anything else. It refers to God as he who feeds all living creatures. And that is the first step in this concept of acknowledging and blessing God for food. But there's more, because we're not animals. We are people, and specifically the Jewish people, and therefore the Torah is asking us to recognize that it is the land of Israel, and land in general, but specifically the land of Israel, from which we derive so much of our food. Now, yes, there are foods which we don't take from the ground, but it's specifically the food we do take from the ground that gets the special brachot. I'm talking about grain, which we grind into flour and bake into bread, or into other pastry products and things like that, which get either a full Birkat HaMazon or an abridged version of Birkat HaMazon known as Bracha Me'ein Shalosh. And the same thing goes for wine, and the same thing goes for eating of grapes and figs and pomegranates and olives and dates. And these are, because of this set of psukim, the intricate structure of before brachot and after brachot and priority in brachot and what you include thematically in brachot basically come from the fact that you don't eat food in a vacuum. You eat food in the context of the gift of the land. Until the people of Israel received the land, they were getting food from heaven, manna, mun. But that was the fetus of the nation in the protective womb of the Midbar, with heavenly clouds of glory protecting us from elements and food and water, and as this portion also describes, clothes that grew on your back and grew with you, shoes that did not wear out. And that was the embryonic and the fetal development of the people. We are to be born, using the analogy, when we get into the land. And yes, you have to say Birkat HaMazon, even when you eat food in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel. But it's a little hard to deny when you get to the second bracha. As I said, the first bracha, blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who in his goodness feeds the whole world with grace, kindness, and compassion. He gives food to all living things, for his kindness is forever. Because of his continual great goodness, we have never lacked food, nor may we ever lack it, for the sake of his great name. For he is God who feeds and sustains all, does good to all, and prepares food for all creatures he has created. Blessed are you, Hashem, who feeds all. No mention of being human beings, no mention of being Jewish, no mention of being anywhere connected to Torah or Eretz Yisrael. But we don't stop there. We continue with Nodelecha Hashem Elokeinu Al Shehinchalta Lavotenu Eretz Chemda Tova Urechava. We thank you, Lord our God, Hashem our God, for having granted us a heritage, as a heritage to our ancestors, a desirable, good, and spacious land, for bringing us out, Hashem our God, from the land of Egypt, freeing us from the house of slavery, for your covenant, which you sealed in our flesh, referring to circumcision, for your Torah, which you taught us, for your laws, which you made known to us, for the life, grace, and kindness you have bestowed on us, and for the food by which you continually feed and sustain us every day, every season, every hour. For all this, Hashem our God, we thank you and bless you. May your name be blessed continually by the mouths of all that lives, forever and all time, for so it is written, V'achalta v'savata, you will eat and be satisfied. Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Baruch atah Hashem, for the land and for the food. Takes this such a significant notch above just eating, just stuffing one's face. This is the essence of Judaism. And this is why it's in the fundamental, basic section of the first three sedras of the Book of Devarim. I've left myself about 2 minutes for the rest of the parsha of Akev, which is certainly not enough. I will mention one significant highlight, and that is the second passage of the Shema comes from Parshat Akev, V'haya im Shamoa. It is the partner passage to V'yahavta, Shema Yisrael and V'yahavta, which we had last week in Vo'et Chanan. And it partners together not just in the Shema, which we recite at least twice a day, but also in the mezuzah, which we put on our doorpost, and in the tefillin, which we wear on our arms and on our head. For tefillin, there are two other parshiot that join it. The mezuzah has just Shema V'yahavta and V'haya im Shamoa. And V'haya im Shamoa has a daily message, twice a day at least, as I said, of the deal, which keeps showing up in the Torah. And it shows up in dramatic, terrifying way coming up in Parshat Ki Tavo, as it did back in B'chukotai, in the Tochacha. But the everyday message is simple. You listen to God, you follow his Torah and mitzvot, things will be good for you. If you turn away from God, things are going to get bad. That is a continuing message said in many different ways, and that too is a very essential element of Judaism, reward and punishment, choosing of good over evil. And we'll talk about that more in future weeks. It gives me just enough time to wish you a Shabbat Shalom and I hope that you get a lot of things of different types from these shows. L'hish Tameah.